to the Allen Kelly and Company Train Hotline. North Carolina Central made it to the NCAA tournament for the first time. Lavelle Moten, the head coach, joins us here. Before we get to the game against Iowa State, let's get an update on LV. Came home from the hospital yesterday. We've been following this whole story. None of us knew about it, by the way, until I think I saw the news sometime Friday. So how's he doing, and is he ever drinking coffee again?
Yeah, he's better. He got released from the hospital yesterday, so we got to, you know, they gave us some medicine where he got to wash his face and things of that nature, and apply some ointment, and that's pretty much the daily regimen that we're doing with the caretaking, and then we'll take him back in for his checkup on Friday.
There's the parent angle, and Adam and I can relate. You know, you don't want anything like that happening to your child. But then there's your routine. You've talked with us multiple times throughout your career at Central and through this the season that you've had about your kids being there and your family being there, and they weren't there for your game against Iowa State. How did you manage that?
It was tough. It was probably the toughest thing I've had to deal with as a coach, you know, but I had to deal with it prior to, you know, we walk into the hotel room and they got me in a presidential suite. It's probably as big as a house. and you know, it would be ideal for my kids to run through and tear up. And they just weren't there. You know, so I'm in there by myself. My wife isn't there. It's like, that was the reality of it just sinking in. Like it was pretty much a lonely trip, you know, for me. And, you know, your mind and your heart is back at home because your child is still in the hospital. And I had to be assured, you know, by the doctors that he was going to be okay before I left because, you know, that's just what a father is supposed to be, you know, to do. You know, with all due respect, North Carolina Central will have 500 coaches when it's all over with, but that kid only gets one father, you know, so I just thought it was best that I be there with him and my family.
You know, one of the things we've been talking about, the tournament and what it provides for schools that don't often get exposure.
Right.
And one of the things that I've always thought about the first four games that involve the two 16 seeds is that one of those schools is going to miss out on the opportunity for those press conferences and all of the trappings that come before the first game, and in some cases being a sacrifice to the one seeds, although there certainly have been very competitive games in the future, and there will be eventually a 16 seed to beat a one. Did your players enjoy that element of the tournament? I know it was probably different for you because your family wasn't there. It's hard to enjoy things when your family's not with them. But did your players get a chance to enjoy the trappings of being in the NCAA tournament?
I thought they did. You know, from the time that we arrived, I mean, we chartered a flight there. That was our first chartered flight ever. You know, so some of them lost their mind there. And prior to that, they were rock stars on campus. I mean, these guys had a pep rally where the gym was filled to capacity. Then we came right back and had a send-off for the guys. Like, it was – and then from the selection show process, I don't know if you guys were able to see that, but it was – I mean, it was top billing. It was crazy. And for them to arrive in San Antonio and see all the media and, you know, the first person that they see is Craig Sager. You know, so they kind of lose their mind there. And then you got Steve Kerr, and obviously they were a little young, but they are aware of the jump shots that he made to – you know, get the Bulls over the hump in a couple of those championships and on the pathway to those championships. And, you know, you got Marv Alford, you know, who they just know he's a legend with the New York Knicks. So once you see all the media and you know, we came out to the open practice and, you know, the spotlights were entirely different. Like, everything was completely different for those guys. And I thought they really enjoyed it. And I told them I wanted them to enjoy every single minute of it, especially our seniors.
But you had to enjoy seeing Sager's suits in person,
I
right?
I mean, come on. What was he wearing the following night? And he said, man, I got something for you. I got something for you. So he wouldn't tell me. Like, he was really discreet about it.
Was that the black polka dot thing?
It looked like the glitter looked like one of the heartbeats or somebody like that coming out. But
he had a bracket tie too, didn't he?
Yeah, it was. I didn't get a good look at him, and I haven't watched the game on TV to see, but I'm going to watch the game just for that. Like, that's the first thing I'm going to do is just fast forward to that because he don't care, man.
It's no, he doesn't.
He get dressed in the dark.
He doesn't. He's like Don Cherry in hockey and on Hockey Night in Canada where his coats are like a couch cushion. Lavelle Moten is joining us. I thought it was very interesting, your halftime interview with Sager about defense and how it was unacceptable to you. For Iowa State was shooting over 50%. Your target is around 40%.
Right.
Shows you how good Iowa State really is as an offensive team.
Right.
What was eye-opening about that experience for you as a coach and going up against a team like that?
Well, you know, the game, I always say, like, right now you have the Sweet 16. And it's not the best 16 teams in the nation. It's the last 16 teams that are remaining. And
right.
With that said, with all due respect to everyone, it's about matchups. And prior to going in, there was a couple of teams that I said as a coach, like, wow, they would really be a difficult matchup for us. It was Louisville, Michigan State, and Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the three. And then when our name was called and we see Iowa State, I'm like, wow. People on Tobacco Road don't have any idea right now because – you know, we're so seduced by Carolina Duke State,
right.
Know, all that stuff. But I've watched Iowa State several times this year, and I was like, there's nobody in the country that could guard them. And I said this in December.
Mm-hmm.
And now with that team that's selected to guard them. And they present so many matchup nightmares. You basically got to pick your poison. And we're a man-to-man basketball team for the most part, but, you know, they outman you at every single position. Their point guard is 24 years old, and he's 6'4", 220 pounds, you know.
Yeah.
And so instantly we're shuffling around, you know, with the matchups. And Deing, like, he's a matchup killer because he's 6'7", but he runs the point. He shoots it. He drives it. He kicks it, you know. And our five is just not accustomed to that. And they just – I just remember them giving Baylor and also Kansas matchup nightmares,
yeah.
And this is Baylor and Kansas. So, you know, you had to pick your poison, but I thought our kids I didn't think we competed the way we needed to in the first half.
Yeah, but you broke Niang eventually. So.
Yeah, literally. You know, and I'm like, I don't wish any injury on anyone. That's one of my favorite kids in the nation. But I'm like, man, you couldn't do that like 2 weeks ago in practice or something. Like, this is crazy. I wish we would have had the opportunity to play them without him. But he's a phenomenal basketball player. And, you know, I got a chance to talk to him after the game, and I told him how great of a basketball player and a person that he was.
Lavelle Moten is joining us here. Before I want to move on to a bigger picture issue, I got to ask you about, you had an embrace at the end of the game with two of your players. And it has to be emotional because you guys haven't lost since January 11th.
Right.
So, I mean, they're not accustomed to losing.
Right.
What was it like after the game? The season is over. You got some seniors moving on. But what was the embrace like? And then what was the locker room like after the game?
One thing we're big on here is accountability. You know, I just think if any organization, unit, or team is going to ever be successful, it has to be daily accountability. And when you're the leader of that, and you're emphasizing that, sometimes you don't tell them how much you love them. And sometimes there's no room for the sentimental process, you know. And after that game, well, it was a minute left, and it was out of reach, and I just felt like, you know, we had a great showing with our crowd, and I just felt like it was time for me to take those guys out and let them receive the love, because the reality is this is their last college basketball game. And that was my sole intent, just letting the crowd cheer for him. And
mm-hmm.
when Alfonso was coming to me, I saw him begin to break down. And, you know, I wanted him to hold his head high, and I kind of covered their faces because I figured that, you know, the camera, somebody would be there. And I just wanted to tell him for that moment that you have nothing to be ashamed of. Put your head up high, your chest out, and I love you, man. What you guys have accomplished here has been incredible. Now, we haven't stopped to smelt the roses, but trust me, it's historical. You have the most wins of any HBCU in the history of D1. Like, that's crazy. And no one ever gave you a chance. It wasn't like you were expected to do this. You have 28 wins. So walk over to this bench and keep your head high, man, because you've represented me well. You made me look a lot better than I am, and I love you. And that's what it was. So in the locker room, it was like a morgue, you know, pretty much. It was quiet because those kids came to win a basketball game.
Mm-hmm. And your season was so phenomenal. I do want to get a big picture comment from you. There's been a lot of talk about one-year players. Jabari Parker, 1 year at Duke. Andrew Wiggins, 1 year at Kansas. And I'm presuming that they will go into the NBA draft. I think we'd all be surprised if any of those kids came back for a year. The league is trying to get to 2 years. What is your feeling about one-year players? Is it good for college? Is it good for them? Should the NBA seek more, a further delay? What's just your entire take on the issue?
You know, you have mixed emotions because regardless of what's legislated, there's never going to be a rule that satisfies all. I haven't had to deal with the issues of one-and-done basketball players, but, I just think if kids are going to go to college and they're going to mandate that, then they should stay at least 2 years. That give them a chance to, number one, grow up,
right,
and socially evolve into the young men that they are scheduled to become. And secondly, it eliminates the hanger owners, those guys who are just endorsing the kids to go to college after 1 year and then endorsing that kid to leave when that kid have no right to be going into an NBA draft. And now, he's in the D League, he's making $18,000, and now his circle of trust is damaged, all of those things. I just think you should just go to college for 2 years, get that experience, and if you're good, then you're good. Jabari Parker is going to be a pro whether he leaves this year or next year.
Right.
Period. Barring injury, but, you can get hurt walking on campus to do, but there's nothing to hide, and I think a lot of these kids leave early because they're hiding their deficiencies in hopes that no one discovers them. But if you're a good basketball player, you are a good basketball player regardless. And I think the Doug McDermott's of the world and, the Tim Duncan's, the Nolan Smith's, I thought it was phenomenal that Tyler Hansbrough's, I thought it was phenomenal that they stayed 4 years and experienced, the greatest 4 years of their life. And I think Doug McDermott made so much more money for himself this year. And then you look at kids like C.J. Leslie who left, but how good would he have been, man, if he would have stayed? So he would have been a lottery pick. So, overall, I think the consensus should be you got to stay 2 years.
Lavelle Moton.
Well, but in the case of somebody like C.J. Leslie versus somebody like Tyler Hansbrough, you've come across players that sometimes you're just – not even players. Sometimes you're just students.
Right.
They're done with college.
Right.
They've put in a couple years. It just wasn't for them, and it's time to move on. Like Lorenzo Brown was just, hey, man, I'm getting older here.
Yeah.
I'm 24. I did my college thing. I can come back, but it's time for me to start making a living. I think every case is different, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it is. And, that's a rare exception because Lorenzo came out, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he qualified, so he had to spend an extra year in prep school.
He did, yep.
So it could be if it's one of those situations, I guess you deal with it on a case-by-case study, but that's what I'm saying. That's where it gets fuzzy because now people are going to try to find a gray area to beat the system. And, now you've opened up Pandora's box, man. But, at the end of the day, if you can play the game of basketball, this game will either expose you or reward you for your talents. That's all to it, And on that next level, it's only 430 basketball players. So you can't fool these guys. There's nothing to hide. They already know everything about you. They know your favorite color, your fifth grade girlfriend's name, all of that stuff. So they're going to know if you can't go left.
Lavelle Moton, Central basketball coach. When you watch the game, watch it with the sound up. Steve Kerr did his homework on your program and you. Personally, you will like the things he had to say about the job that you have done at Central. Thank you very much for the time. When the playoffs start, you want to talk a little NBA hoops with us?
Absolutely, man.
You're going to the Final Four, right?
I will. I'll be there.
All right. Well, we're going to bother you because we're going to be at the Final Four through a clerical error. So we'll talk to you when we get out there.
Well, let me know what hotel room so I can order lobster every night.
Thanks, man.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Coach.
You guys.
Take care.